Welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast. Give it up for your host, me. Hi, how's it going? I had a couple of guests scheduled tonight, and of course my co-hosts, I'd hope they'd be here, but, well, not tonight, today, actually, 2 p.m. on Saturday. It's actually 2:29. Ah, just turned 2:30. Woohoo! And nobody showed up. Shows you what kind of draw I am. I'm doing well in the entertainment business. Well, welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast. I am your host, JT Foreman. I normally at this point I say I'm here with my good friends and I introduce the guests or my co-hosts, but as I said, nobody was able to come. I guess John's still feeling sick. Terry's got to work. You know, that whole food shelter thing. The guests I invited to come out on the show are flakes. And so here I am all by myself. And the worst part about it is the conference room here at the Woodward Park Library has a glass wall and door. No one can really hear what I'm doing, but they can all see me. So I can't even, like, you know, try to masturbate to make me feel better, you know, because that always makes me feel better. It used to make me tired, too, but it doesn't really anymore. They used to be, like, better than the sleeping pill. You just masturbate, you're asleep. But just it's not doing it for me anymore. You probably didn't want to know that, but neither did I, so there you go. Well, anyway, we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. This is episode 32, so for my insensitivity in episode 31, I would like to apologize to black people, voicemail, cuisine, and both the Chukchansi and Table Mountain Indian tribes. I have no idea what those Indian tribes are actually called. Just the Chukchansi Casino and the Table Mountain Casino are the names of the two casinos that I'm always seeing advertisements on and TV. You know, I don't know what the tribes are. Yeah, you know what? Maybe it's their fault, really. They could have named, you know, maybe if Chukchansi actually kind of sounds like an Indian word. That might actually be the name of the tribe. So maybe when I referred to their language as Chukchansi-ish, that might have been accurate. But I'm pretty sure the Table Mountain Indians, whatever tribe they are, don't really speak Table Mountainese. I could be wrong. It's possible. You know, maybe they do, but just doesn't seem real likely to me. Well, anyway, if you'd like to know specifically why I'm apologizing, check out episode 31 and all our episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the Bitter Comics Podcast, just go to the site, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, and my Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any more apologies or to make any comments, send an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put JT, don't ever go to another play ever again. How's it going? Okay. I don't know why I'm asking you guys. It's not like this is like a live program and you can call in and tell me what you're thinking or anything. As I said, unfortunately, I'm alone this week. I'm afraid that, the guests I booked didn't make it, and all that. So, here I am all by myself. I really don't friggin' know what to talk about. I mean, the whole reason that I do the podcast with a couple of other people is because, you know what? I do talk to myself a lot, but it's usually not that interesting to anyone except myself. So I always figured, you know, it'd be so much more interesting if I had, you know, other people to converse with. I suppose I could grab one of these random people out here in the library and see if they want to talk about it. But these are people who are hanging out in a library on a Saturday afternoon. Something tells me that their life isn't much more interesting than mine is. That's mean. I shouldn't say that. It's probably accurate, but it's still mean. And you shouldn't say mean things just because they're mean. And we want to be nice to people. We want this to be a good society and all that stuff. Hang on a second. I'm going to pause this and try to figure out what to talk about next. Be right back. This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. Okay, well, I guess I'll start by telling you about my week. Let's see, what interesting happened to me this week? I had a date. It was a very nice young lady named Marie. She was actually a nurse I met at the VA hospital when I was there getting my blood pressure checked. I'd I was just struck by how incredibly attractive she was when I first saw her. And talking to her, she seemed like such a nice and really sweet person. And getting to know her a little bit, I was right. She is a really nice and really sweet person. And seeing her in civilian clothes, she's even more gorgeous. But I when I finished the appointment, and now one thing I have to say, I understand how wrong it is to try to pick up on somebody while they're at work. I mean, if you're in a bar, you go up to a girl and say, "Hey, baby, let me buy you a drink." She's not interested. She can say no and then turn around and walk away. But if the woman's at work, or if you're a woman and it's a guy who's at work, they're kind of trapped there. And it's really, if nothing else, it's really unfair to try picking up on someone in their place of business. They can't turn you down, really, in the way that you probably deserve if they're not interested, you know, because they have to be nice to you. And, you know, they have to be worried that you're going to get mad at them and tell their boss what a jerk or what a bitch they are and all that stuff. So it's kind of wrong, really, I think, to try to pick up on someone while they're at work. However, I have to say that I did it anyways because, well, really, when am I ever going to see her again? I mean, unless I happen to her be the nurse who sees me the next time I have to go into the VA hospital, I doubt I would have ever bumped into her again in my life. So basically, this was like my one shot. So I guess I just felt like I had to take it. I understand it's wrong and shame on me. But put in the same situation, I do it again anyways. I'm a horrible human being. What can I say? So I gave her my number and asked her to give me a call sometime. See, this is possibly a mistake, but this is the way that I feel is best to do it. I never ask a woman for her number. I always give her my number because I feel that that's giving her the choice. If I ask for her number, now I have to put her in that uncomfortable position of trying to say no or making her lie to me by giving me a fake number. So I'll give the girl my number, and she can choose to call me or not. After a week or so, I didn't hear from Marie, so I figured, okay, well, you know, she's just not interested. It's okay. You know, other people out there and all that, other fish in the sea, not that I'm having sex with fish or anything, but you know what I mean. And then like a month and a half later, I suddenly just out of nowhere get a text message that says, "Hi, how are you?" Well, I had no idea who this text was from. I was like, okay, who is this? And it says, "It's Marie from the VA." I was like, oh, yeah. So we texted back and forth for a little while, asked what she was up to. She was, I was going to a comedy show that night, and I told her about that. She said, oh, cool. She was going to buy a dress for, she had been invited to an Indian wedding. An Indian theme wedding, and she asked me if I'd ever been to one. I think I saw one in a movie once, but the only thing I really remember about it is that the food looked really good. What can I say? I like to eat. That's probably why I had high blood pressure and had to go to the hospital in the first place. So, you know, my terrible diet led to me meeting this wonderful lady in the first place, so I can't really feel bad about all the junk food I've eaten over my life. So, We you know, texted back and forth for a half an hour or so, and then a few days later, I asked her out on a date. I took her to a comedy show where I wasn't performing. I was actually going to just take her to dinner that night, but after we'd already agreed on the date, a friend of mine asked me if I would bring my recording equipment and record his set at his comedy show that night. So, you know, I said I would, and I ended up bringing her with me to that comedy show. I felt really bad about, I kind of neglected her a lot of the night because I kept having to go up to check the equipment and check the sound levels to make sure it was recording well. So I guess I kind of like dissed her during the date. I feel like kind of a jerk about that. But, you know, she said, yeah, she felt a little neglected, but she forgave me. We've been on one other date since then, and, you know, just really like this girl. But the date this week was I took her to Buffalo Wild Wings. And I just ordered a hamburger. I'd actually eaten there three times this week. I have to say that's becoming like my favorite restaurant because I really like the wings, good prices. I like the people who work there. It's kind of a cool atmosphere, and it's not crazy expensive. So it's it's a place I can actually go to relatively often. But and then she ordered it's like a mango kind of flavor wings. And which is like the third, I don't know if you've ever been to Buffalo Wild Wings, but they have like 24 different sauces that they'll put on their wings, right? And in the menu, you open up there in the middle, there's a picture of a little bottle of, sauce bottle. And then from top to bottom, it goes from the least spicy to the most spicy. And the one that she ordered, it was a mango something, was like third from the bottom. It was like there's the mango thing she ordered, and then the hot, and then the blazing. And that's like that's their hottest one. So like the third from the bottom was the one she ordered. This Marie, she's a Filipino woman. I don't know if that means anything. Are Asian women or Filipino women more or less susceptible to spicy foods? I don't know. I mean, if she were Mexican, I would assume they are, because that's like where the jalapeno came from and everything. But as far as Asians, I don't know if Filipinos are less susceptible to hotness. I'm definitely susceptible to her hotness. But I'm not really into really spicy foods. A little bit spicy is good. I always order like the mediums. But when she ordered that, I was like, wow, look what she's getting. She's getting the really hot one. I don't know if that means anything, but anyway, had a really great conversation, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again. But that was probably the most interesting thing happened to me this week. Other than that, let's see. Let me pause this again, collect my thoughts. Okay, now here's the thing that I keep thinking about, though, as far as this girl, Marie, that I just started seeing. I don't have a whole lot of dating experience in my life, so I'm not sure if, I am sure that I'm not really qualified to make some of these judgments, but I can't figure out if she's actually interested or not. I don't know. I've always had this idea that, like, I know from the moment I'm talking to a girl whether I'm interested in her or not. Now I'm not talking about whether I want to marry the person, but whether I'm interested in them. And this includes whether or not I want to sleep with them, of course, but also whether or not I want to, I do like this person and I want to get to know them better. And I can't tell if she's interested or not. Now, maybe she's not sure, but I don't know. It just seems odd to me that. Well, anyway, I don't know, but two dates, and she hasn't let me kiss her goodnight. Now, I don't know how soon that's supposed to happen in a relationship. Now, maybe it's just from watching too many movies, but it seems like everyone else in the world is like jumping into bed after the first date, and I'm sure I have unrealistic expectations about how quickly I'm going to be able to bed anyone, much less this lady. And this is not a comment about her and what kind of woman I think she is. It's that I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm really, really friggin' confused. So it's not that I think that I'm going to get her into bed right away. Although, honestly, that is one of my goals. That's not my primary goal, of course. I do want to have sex. But I don't want to sleep around. I want one girl. Okay, I wouldn't want to be the kind of guy who can go into a bar and just, pick up a girl, take her home, and end up with a different girl every night, every time he goes out. I wouldn't want to be that guy. Ignore the fact of any fears of STDs or getting the girl pregnant. That just seems like a shitty way to live. and this is going to sound kind of gay, and but I don't want a girl to go to bed with. I want a girl to wake up next to. And what's really bugging me with Marie is that I can't tell if she's even remotely interested. And I would hate to wait a month and a half, 2 months, only to find out that she's not, and I've been wasting my time. Because all the time that I have spent with her, I like her more and more. And if she's not interested, I guess I hope she breaks it off before I fall in love with her. God, that's pathetic. This is JT Foreman, we're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman, we're the Bitter Comics. Well, I'm the Bitter Comic. I'm the only person here. Why am I saying Bitter Comics plural? I am the Bitter Comic singular. I'm sure there are other Bitter Comics, but I'm the only one here right now. And I'm back. Okay, now, as you know, Terry Michaels, one of the normal hosts of the show, is a big fan of lists. And so I try to find a different list each week, you know, just to talk about, keeps the conversation going and all that. And this one I found on Audi.com. And on the article, it said that they found these on a website called PassiveAggressiveNotes.com. If you have ever had a nightmare roommate, or if you have ever been someone's nightmare roommate, I'm sure you can relate to many, if not all, of the notes on this list. These are 16 hilarious roommate notes. So here we go. Number one. Now, this note was on the on a box in the refrigerator, and it says, "I am sorry I had to put my pee in the fridge. I sealed it in a plastic bag, then the box, then taped it shut." And I want to point out that there's also this little heart drawn at the end of the note, just so the reader knows that the writer really does care. Isn't that sweet? Why? I want to know, why is someone storing their pee in the fridge? I mean, are they expecting, you know, drug tests soon, but they know that they want to go on a total bender this weekend, and they're just going to go crazy and snort coke and smoke meth and drink tons of booze and smoke a bunch of pot. And so they want to have the clean pee from before the weekend that they can turn in for the drug test on Monday. That's really the only scenario I can think of that makes any sense at all. But it is, if you're going to be storing your pee, let me just say this. If you are a person who is in a situation where you have to take drug tests, but you are so addicted that you have to do drugs, or you just consider your life so miserable that you need something powerful to make you forget every weekend. Maybe it's that thing you're doing where they require the drug test that's making you miserable. And perhaps you should just, you know, find something else to do. You know, maybe you at some like crazy high paid job. Well, you know what? Just manage for a couple of years, save up a bunch of money. And then once you're rich, you know, just say, fuck it, I'm done. You know, I see these athletes getting busted with drugs. And I always think, you know, you made millions the first couple seasons. If you really want to do drugs, if it did, you know, just stop playing. Fuck it. You're rich. Walk away. Walk away. What are you staying in this environment that is so stressful that it's forcing you to use all these narcotics if you don't have to stay in it? You know, a lot of things like that. It's like, I don't understand. It's, the only thing I can figure is if they love it, you know, they wouldn't be doing all these drugs to make them forget about how they're miserable in their life. It's like Stephen King, okay? He doesn't need the money. So obviously he's not writing more books for the money. He likes doing it. Now, if he were writing all these books and were so miserable with his life, that he had to get high all the time, I would be like, dude, put the pen down, get rid of the typewriter, throw away your computer. Fuck it. You're rich, dude. You don't have to do this shit anymore. Stop torturing yourself. Okay, number two. This note, it's just on a wall, I assume, in a college dorm. It says, to the individual obsessed with drawing penises, rest assured that you are the only person who finds humor in this. While I am glad you are so open in expressing yourself, it is rather distasteful to be depicting your desires in such great detail on everyone's doors. If you care to enjoy your phallic artwork alone in your own place of residence, that is perfectly fine by me. However, there are a number of students who fail to appreciate your unique style of expression on their property. The next time you feel the urge to create penises, do it on canvas and take it to an art show. Maybe you'll make some money out of the deal. And, of course, there is a large penis drawn on the sign, probably by the person that the sign was intended for in the first place. Drawing penises all over the place. Wow, dude. What can I say? You're kind of being what you're drawing. You're being a dick. Moving on. Note number three. This was sitting above a plate. It says, if you don't want green stuff growing out of our plates, please wash your dishes. Cheers. And this sign, of course, it's above a plate with, you guessed it, green stuff growing out of it. The next sign is inside of a medicine cabinet next to some beauty products. It says, I'm sorry, Matt. I can't afford for both of us to use my face products. Thanks. You know, I've heard of roommates like stealing each other's food out of the fridge, but stealing each other's face cream out of the medicine cabinet, that's pretty bad. You know, the only thing worse would be like if you're stealing each other's lube for masturbating or something. It's like, dude, that's my tube of KY. Okay, get your own tube of KY. That's my tube of KY. Not that I know what kind of lube people would use or anything. I don't use lube. When I masturbate, I do it dry. Lube is a crutch, okay? Lubrication's a crutch. Because, you know, if you get used to lube, what happens if you're in a situation where you don't have any lube available, but you, like, you know, the chick in the drive-thru is really attractive, so you just need to masturbate right now, but you don't have any lube with you? You're going to end up, like, tearing open ketchup packets and shit. It's going to make a mess. Seriously, lube is a crutch. Just do it dry. Number five, do you slam your doors loudly late at night or early in the morning? You just might be a bad roommate. Please show basic consideration for your fellow students. This message brought to you by Chris, and the last name was too blurry to read. A note was left in response right next to it. It said, Do you leave annoying notes in the hall? You just might seem self-righteous. Well, you know, the person who left that second note, fuck you, dude. The first person was trying to tell you not to be an asshole in a more friendly and humorous manner, and you decide to be even more of an asshole in response. So, hey, you know what? I hope someone catches you and, like, pulls a Batman treatment on you. Listen to previous episodes about Terry's theory on how to stop crime if you want to know what the Batman treatment is. Number six. Dear Evan, my parents are coming today. Can you please wear pants all day? Thanks, Ryan. Wow, you know, if I had a roommate that didn't wear pants all day, I would try to move. I would, because I really don't. I prefer to be the only one without pants in the room. Really, you know, it's just I would feel he was copying me to make fun of me, and I just don't think I should have to sit around and take that kind of ridicule. I really don't. It's just, you know, treating me like that. We're supposed to be roommates. He should be more respectful of. You know, it's not like my form of artistic expression is drawing penises all over the place. You know, I just have mine hanging out, you know. And for him to go and imitate me like that is just, it's just really insensitive and cruel and unwarranted. And it's, you know, it's just not cool at all. Not cool at all. Number seven, stop turning the toaster up. This note is left next to a piece of burnt toast that has a frowny face carved into the blackened bread. You know what? Go to the website and check out the picture on that one. It just, you know, type in the quote into the search. It was the cutest piece of toast I ever saw in my life. I mean, this is more adorable. Like, I would rather see more frowny faces in toast. You know, the next time someone finds a piece of toast with the Virgin Mary or the Jesus in it, I hope they carve a frowny face on it just because I thought this was so adorable. Number eight, if you don't clean your dishes, he gets one in the head. Now, this note, it is on the note, there's also a picture of a puppy with a gun to its head and the word boom next to it. So apparently, if this person's roommate doesn't do the dishes, he's going to shoot your puppy. You might want to do the dishes. Yes, I think you should do the dishes. You know, I think the puppy would be happier if you did the dishes rather than getting shot in the head. Shooting puppies is just not cool at all. And if you're doing the dishes has affected your roommate so horribly that he's willing to commit puppycide, you know, maybe you should get your roommate some help. Maybe you should. You know, or maybe you should just do the dishes so that he can calm down. Next, number nine, this note is, it's a picture of a man's head and the man is laughing. And beneath it in large letters, it says, dishes? ? In large bold letters. And, you know, so you got the word dishes? ? And a person laughing. So, haha, I'm not going to do the dishes. And beneath that is a post-it note that reads, wash your fucking dishes, please. I think these roommates need to find other roommates. You know, we have a recurring theme here, and I think it's basically that there's a lot of roommates out there who would like to make it clear to their roommate that they're their roommate, not their fucking mom, okay? And you know what? My mom didn't do the dishes. My mom made me do the dishes. So, hey, you know what? Maybe your roommate is your mom and your roommate is trying to get you to do your fucking dishes. How about that? Maybe your roommate is your mom. What do you know? Except you're not going to get an allowance. No, your roommate's not going to give you an allowance for doing the dishes. I think I got like 50 cents a week or something. So, there you go. That's what, half a candy bar now? Or, you know, actually, you know what? You could get an apple pie at McDonald's. They're like two for a buck now. That does seem odd to me that, you know, apple pies are like less than half the cost of a candy bar. But, I don't. Anyway. Number 10. This refrigerator is not self-replenishing. It would be nice if, when you take a drink, please replace. Everyone deserves a cold drink. Don't be selfish. I guess they have like a whole shitload of soda in the house. And, you know, like my dad does this. He has like several 12 packs of soda sitting over, you know, by the counter. And he'll put a 12 pack of each of the flavors. He'll have like diet orange and grape and lemon lime in there. And then spares over on the side. So when you empty one, you're supposed to take a new one and put it in the fridge so that they'll be cold for the next person who wants that soda. And someone is not replacing the soda. That's terrible. Number 11. This note inside a refrigerator, it says, these yogurts expired July 24th. Today is August 12th. What should we do? ? And someone else has written on the note, run for our lives! That might be a good idea. You know, let's see, July 24th to August 12th. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's only 3 weeks. I'm not sure that's enough time for the yogurt to come to life and begin its rampage. You know, generally, sour cream can begin its rampage in less than 3 weeks. But yogurt usually takes at least a month and a half. You know, because it's got a, you know, the sour cream, or especially cottage cheese. Oh, my God. 2 days after cottage cheese is expired, you might want to just, like, buy some machine guns or something. Because that stuff is already curdled. I mean, it's already spoiled milk when you get it. And that's when it's supposedly, quote, fresh. I mean, my God, 2 days after cottage cheese goes bad, the cottage cheese will start eating the other shit in the fridge. Really. Okay, number 12. This note was left on someone's door. It says, fun fact of the day, quiet sex can be fun too. I'm sure that's true, but it's not as much fun. You know, I don't know. You know, it just, you know, any kind of sex can be fun. It can. Especially if the other person's cooperating. Oh, it's so much better that way. You know, and not just lying there. That's no fun. That's not as much fun. Well, it's still fun. It's just not as much fun. Number 14. If you are unwilling to refill the ice cube trays, do not use the ice. Thanks in advance. Well, that's nice of you to thank them in advance. And this is another one of the, this is like the soda a couple ones ago. You know, if you use the last one, put the next one in, it's like making coffee, you know, you drank the last of coffee. But you know, here's what happens. You go to the fridge, you want to get some ice because one of your roommates took the last cold soda. So there's no cold soda, so the soda's warm. So now you need some ice, right? So you go to get some ice, and there's like in the tray, there's like four ice cubes left. So what you do is you take three ice cubes, and you leave one ice cube there. So you didn't empty it, so now you don't have to fill it up. All I can say to all of these people is, you know what? Just buy a bigger fridge so you can put all the soda in it, and make sure it has an automatic ice maker, and then you don't have to deal with your shitty roommates. Hey, there you go. This message brought to you by Whirlpool or Kenmore or Frigidaire or whoever feels like bringing it to you. Okay, so we've got a couple more items on the list, but we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and I'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am the Bitter Comic, and I am back. So we're back. We're at the last two on our list of the 16 hilarious notes to roommates. These I got the list off of Audi.com, and they apparently got these from a website called PassiveAggressiveNotes.com. I browsed that whole, you know, not the whole website, but I browsed that website. They have all kinds of different notes about all kinds of different things. A lot of them are interesting. A lot of them are really funny. So if you get a chance, check out both of these websites, Audi.com and PassiveAggressiveNotes.com. I'll put links to them to both those websites in the show notes. Okay, so number 15 on our top 16 list here. Number 15. This one I think was actually my favorite. Ashley is passed out naked on the bathroom floor. Please check on her occasionally. Thank you. I'll check on her. Yeah, that's no problem. I can do that. Passed out naked on the bathroom floor? I mean, you know, okay. If you have a friend who is passed out naked on the bathroom floor, there's a couple of things here. Number one, no, you should not have sex with her. You should not. In fact, I believe a lot of states actually have laws against engaging in sex with someone who's intoxicated, which is one of the reasons that I will never buy a woman a drink again. Because the moment I purchase her alcohol, now I can't fuck her, apparently. That's the law, you know? It's not my decision, but I guess some women, they got drunk in a bar, and they went home with a guy, really regretted it the next morning, and then they called Congress and said, make a law. And so they made a law that it's in many states. I think California's one of them as well. It's actually against the law to have sex with a person who is intoxicated. So, yeah, I don't buy women drinks, which means I don't get laid. But, well, actually, there's other reasons why. But anyway, let's move on from that. But the next thing is, you know, she's passed out naked on the bathroom floor. What if you have to go? I mean, well, you're just going to do it while she's there passed out? I mean, that just seems kind of rude. I mean, you know, because although you're unconscious when you're, you know, you're passed out or you're asleep, you're unconscious, but your unconscious mind will still picks up things going on, and she's already drunk. You don't need your pooping or your pissing or your farts messing with her dream. Okay. You know, she might be having a really nice dream about, you know, maybe Ashley is like, oh, she's drunk. She's having a dream that Brad Pitt came to rescue her. And, you know, she's making love to Brad Pitt. And then he farts. Because your fart made its way into her sexy dream with Brad Pitt. Do you really want to do that? I mean, Ashley's your friend. How could you do that? Would you want Ashley to do that to you? I don't think so. So, you know, just take her to her room, lay her on the bed face down so she doesn't drown in her puke if she throws up. Put her on the couch. Actually, the couch would probably be better. Lay her face down on the couch with her head hanging over the side so she can throw up onto the floor. You know, put a bucket underneath her, you know, so, or a bowl. Get like a big mixing bowl. Put it under her head. So if she pukes, she pukes into that. Be a lot better. Trust me. So I hear. And finally, number 16. Now, this is written in Post-it notes on the fridge. So, you know, they use Post-it notes to create the letters. So it's big, giant letters. It just says, I had sex on your bed. You know, I haven't even had sex on my bed. And if someone else had sex on my bed when I hadn't, I would be mad. I would feel that they're obliged to have sex with me on their bed now, I think. It only seems fair. You know, I mean, they had sex on my bed. So I should get to have sex on their bed. And, that, you know, they're the ones responsible for this whole situation. So they need to provide someone to have sex with me. So, it can be them or it can be the person they had sex with on my bed. Actually, maybe it would be better if it were the person that they had sex with on my bed, then had sex with me on their bed. That way, my roommate has defiled my bed. I have defiled my roommate's bed. And the person that the two of us have had sex with has defiled herself on both of our beds or allowed us to defile her on both of her beds. So anyway, that's the 16 hilarious roommate notes. You can find those again on Audi.com, which they got them from the website PassiveAggressiveNotes.com. I'll have links to both of those in the show notes. And there we go. Okay, so next. As you know, I like to support my town. So the 559 text this week, I go to the website called textfromlastnight.com and I look in up the 559 area code and I search through them to find a text message. Now, this is a website that has text messages that are probably drug and or alcohol induced. And we have this one here. Now, yesterday was Veterans Day. So I found one that I thought was perfect for the holiday. Now, I think this shows this text. All right, let me read this to you. Here we go. The 559 text of the week is, I just fucked three Marines at the same time. How did you celebrate Veterans Day? Now, I have to say that I think that this shows that Fresno is the most patriotic city in America. Okay, forget all those other towns and the whole rest of the world. No matter, they have their parades and they have their, you know, some stores they give like veterans discounts and all this other crap. No matter what anyone else does, I don't think any of it can top what this I assume is a woman, this fine young woman did for her country. To support the troops that are defending this great nation. She went and fucked three of them. Happy Veterans Day. And God bless America. And God bless this woman, whoever she is. I hope I find out who she is one day. Because I was in the Navy for 8 years. And, you know, perhaps she'll be feeling patriotic on that day as well. You never know. Okay, so that's the 559 text of the week. You can find that and all kinds of other text messages at the website textfromlastnight.com. So check it out. Okay, so let's get into the news. The first news story. I think this is here's the story. A woman and her boyfriend were hit by separate cars and killed on Interstate 485 late Sunday. Sunday last week near Pinevale, North Carolina, after they got out of the vehicle during an argument. A North Carolina Highway Patrol officer identified the woman as Terry Lynn Stavey, age 30, of Sherrill Hills. The man apparently had not been identified yet. He wasn't carrying any identification at the time. Okay, so these two people, the boyfriend, girlfriend, they're apparently in their car driving down the I-485, and they got into an argument, and they stopped the car, got out of the argument, and kind of wandered out into the street as they continued arguing with each other. Each of them got hit by separate cars. It can wait till you get home, all right? Seriously. The next time your girl says, stop this car and let me out right now. Let her out, but don't get out with her. You know what? If you let her out, she gets hit by a car, you just won the argument. And you can go home satisfied knowing that you were right. because that is apparently the only way to win an argument with a woman is if, she says, let me out right now, you let her out on the freeway and she gets hit by a car, then you won. Any other argument you have with a woman, yeah, she wins, really, basically. Because she's going to withhold sex for at least that night. So, no matter who's right, you still lost the argument because you didn't get to have sex that night. Let's move on. There's an airline it's based in Ireland, I believe. It's called Ryanair. They've had a lot of interesting things happening to them lately. Passengers watched in horror as a ground crew recently put tape around the edge of a windscreen shortly before takeoff from Stansted, Essex, headed toward Riga, Latvia. That's right. They apparently used tape to hold one of the windows on the plane. Irish Aviation Authority said the tape was being used as an extra precaution to secure a new window seal. You'll be happy to know that the pilot aborted and returned to the airport just like 20 minutes into the flight, most likely because the noise being made by the tape flapping in the wind was really annoying. Ryanair insists normal procedures were followed throughout and there was no danger to the passengers or crew. But, I don't know what kind of tape it was, but I'm going to assume it's duct tape because that's what everyone uses to fix everything. If people are putting duct tape on the window to hold shit onto the airplane, take the bus. I realize you're going from the United Kingdom to Latvia, which requires you to go across the ocean. But you know what? I still think a bus would be safer than a plane that's got scotch tape on it or duct tape on it to hold the windows on. But, that's not the only thing that's been going on with Ryanair recently. In unrelated news here, Ryanair a few weeks ago announced their sexy cabin crew calendar, featuring some of their more attractive employees. This annual calendar, they've been doing it for a while now, apparently, is a fundraiser for Deborah. Deborah is not the whore that the CEO is stooping, apparently. Deborah it's D-E-B, capital R, capital A, is a UK-based charity that will provide 50 families, each with children who suffer from epidermolysis bullosa skin condition, a vacation to Malaga, Spain. Now, I looked up this skin condition, epidermolysis bullosa. Apparently, it causes skin blisters to result from even minor injuries. So you get like a little cut on your hand and you'll have like skin blisters. So it seems to me that if these children have this skin condition that causes them to be so easily, they basically, even such a minor cut can result in such a big injury, why are you sending them to the beach? I mean, there's got to be safer places for them to go. Malaga, Spain, I think that's a beach town. Anyway, seriously, this is an airline that's doing this calendar to raise money to send families on vacation, probably flying on their own airline. I don't know how much credit they should be given for supporting this, quote, charity, seeing as how, you know, the money raised is going to pay for airline tickets on their own fucking airline, right? At least that's what it looks like. So, yeah, it's like a charity. I'm going to start a charity, all right? Everyone should send me money so that I can start my own charity, which the purpose of this charity is to support my Visa fund. It's to pay for my credit cards. There you go. Now, this airline, more recent scandals, they recently removed the bathrooms from some of their planes in order to fit in more seats. Now they've just announced that they're removing the bathrooms so they can get more seats. Why don't you just sell a ticket to sit on the toilet? How about that? And just make sure that you note on the ticket that you might have to get up to allow people to use your seat every once in a while if they have to. You know, they could also, like, you know, put the little vending machine thing on the chair or on the door to the bathroom, charge people to go to the bathroom. You know, I realize the airlines are having troubles with making money and all that, especially, I understand, you know, price of fuel's gone up so much, but you know what? Forget all of this other bullshit. Just raise the ticket price. It ends up costing the same, and now you're not lying to us. How about that? How about a business be honest? What the hell? And now, the company just announced that they're going to be offering porn on their planes. So an app will be available for iPads and smartphones, which will allow passengers to play games, gamble, and even watch raunchy movies. Quote, hotels around the world have it, so why wouldn't we? Asks Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary. This guy's like Larry Flint of the sky. I mean, at a press conference in 2008, he once said that Ryanair's long-haul flights should include, quote, beds and blowjobs. Now, I'm not disagreeing with him. I'm just saying that he's the Larry Flint of the sky. We're going to take another break real quick. I am JT Foreman. This is Bitter Comics, and I'll be right back. I am JT Foreman. This is Bitter Comics, and I am back. Okay, so moving on with the news for the week. It seems that to some people, the memories of an event are more important than the reality of it. One of these people is a gentleman by the name of Todd Remus of Manhattan. He is suing his wedding photographer. The studio is called H&H Photographers. He claims that they missed the last 15 minutes of the wedding, which includes the last dance, the bouquet toss, and, of course, the happy couple driving away to start their new lives together. Here's where it gets crazy. Okay, he wants the $4,100 he paid the photographers back. All right, yeah, I understand that. But he also wants another $48,000 so he can fly everyone back out to New York to reenact the wedding. And it gets worse. He waited 6 years to file the lawsuit. The wedding took place in 2003. And he, you know, of course, after a little bit after that, and then he filed the lawsuit, I believe it was last year. But so he waited like 6 years to file the lawsuit. And here's the best part. They're divorced now. She has since moved back to her native country of Latvia. They think. They're not sure. Apparently, he doesn't have any idea where he's at. At least that's what it seems from reading the article, because it says they believe she moved back there. Which, you know, if they believe she has, but they're not sure, that tells me they can't find her. So, but he wants to reenact the wedding so that he can have pictures of the wedding with a woman that he's now divorced from. Good luck with that, dude. The judge has dismissed many of the pieces of the case, but is allowing it to proceed because there may have actually been a breach of contract here, which I understand that. But, you know, I understand. I get that a lawyer would tell you, okay, ask for everything you possibly can because you're not going to end up getting everything anyways. So maybe this is just, you know, part of the strategy to get the photographer to negotiate and narrow down a little, you know, and settle for the $4,100 for the photographer. But I don't know. I mean, you waited 6 years. You're divorced anyways. You're pretending you're going to reenact the thing. Let's say by some crazy circumstance, you actually win. You get the 48 grand. If I were your cousin, you know what? I got better shit to do than go to your wedding again to someone you're not even married to. You know, he could hire maybe he could do it in a cheaper way. He could like hire actors and stuff to pretend. I mean, it's not a real wedding anyway. Do you need real guests? You know, there's this website called Rent a Mob. I mean, go to there and rent a bunch of people to just like throw rice at you and stuff, and you're set. Oh wait, you don't throw rice anymore. Do you throw like oatmeal or something? What do they throw at weddings now? Anyway. Okay, so the next in the news, tunnels are a common way for things and people to be smuggled across the U.S.-Mexico border, right? Since the 1990s, border control agents have found more than 125 of them. Well, a tunnel near San Diego ran into trouble recently when it got flooded with sewage. Four men and one woman had to be rescued from drowning in the sewage. Of course, they're under arrest, but this tunnel was apparently being used to smuggle drugs and stuff. I just want to say that if any kind of thing happens and you need to be hosed off, you're an idiot. Okay, next, in Wisconsin, 48-year-old Robbie Sir had apparently fallen for the 26-year-old exchange student living with his family. He came up with a plan. He's going to wear disguise, kidnap her, and then come back later without the disguise and rescue her, right? She'll be so grateful. She's going to fall in love, and they'll live happily ever after. I mean, he is married and has two kids, but why let that stand in the way of such a brilliant plan to win your true love, right? Or is this one problem? When he caught her alone in the garage, she kind of beat the crap out of him. He eventually had to flee the scene rather than be rendered unconscious, I guess. After a few days of investigation, the police figured out what really happened, arrested him for attempted false imprisonment, assault, etc. You know, I guess it's back to the drawing board for me, because I was sure that this was a good plan. I'm really glad someone else tried it out first. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm still going to give it a shot. I think this guy was just a pussy. He let this 20-year-old girl beat the crap out of him. I'm tougher than that. I'm tougher than that. I can handle it. Next in the news, a former Southern California Reserve police officer has pled no contest to drugging and raping a friend before shaving the unconscious man's body hair. Los Angeles prosecutors say 56-year-old John Haig Marshall entered the plea Tuesday to a charge of sexual penetration of an intoxicated person. Here it was. Earlier I was talking about how in many states, including California, it's actually illegal to have sex with someone who is drunk. This is where I'd heard about this. Sexual penetration of an intoxicated person. So guys, don't ever buy a woman a drink ever again. If you do, you can't sleep with her. And if you can't sleep with her, what reason could you possibly have to want her buy her shit? Right? You don't buy her a drink. You know what? If she gets herself drunk, if she starts drinking herself, just go find someone sober. You know, seriously, I understand. You know, you shouldn't. You know, pour 20 drinks down someone's throat. They're so wasted they pass out and then fuck them while they're unconscious. I know I shouldn't do that. A person shouldn't do that. That should never be done. I get it. But you're going to make like single bars illegal. Yeah, that's what you're doing here. It is illegal for a single bar to exist pretty much, because they'll be guilty of like RICO. This is racketeering, you know, any, or it's an organization involved in the commission of a crime. This bar is helping people get drunk so that other people can sleep with them. So it's going to be illegal to pick up a girl in the bar. There you go. Well, Marshall faced up to 8 years in prison if convicted at trial, but reached a plea calling for 3 years in prison. He also has to register as a sex offender. The Torrance Daily Breeze reports Marshall's 29-year-old friend told investigators he was drugged, sexually assaulted, and shaved of his body hair a year ago, in Marshall's shower in Redondo Beach. The men were drinking buddies. Okay, why'd you shave him before he had sex with him? I mean, I would think that the reason the reason people shave is because they want their hair to be such that they're more attractive now. I mean, whether it be, you know, shaving your beard so that it's nice and trimmed and looks good, or shaving your balls so your girlfriend doesn't get pissed at you about the pubes stuck in her teeth. Either way, when you shave, you're doing it so that you are more appealing to someone who might want to sleep with you. So why did he shave the guy after they had sex? Is it like, you know, he after he had sex with him and it's like, oh, shit, you know, stuff got all tangled up. Well, this isn't going to happen next time. And so he shaved him down? Or did he think there was going to be a next time? I mean, he was just, you know, the guy, he was drugged, passed out in the shower, cum oozing out of his ass, and he just wasn't going to ask what was going on, what happened? You know, I would be curious. You know, all the times that I woke up with a sore butt, I wondered what was going on. Marshall's lawyer says that the shower was consensual and there was no sexual penetration. That seems unlikely to me. You know what? Taking a shower with someone, in my view, is consent to sexual penetration. Seriously. Ladies, if you ever come up to me and say, we can shower together, you're telling me we're going to have sex. That's what I'm hearing. Now, maybe I just hear what I want to hear. That could be. That's possible. Maybe I'm just hearing what I want to hear. Anyway, we're getting toward the end of the show now. What am I doing this coming week? I don't have any shows where I'm, you know, definitely going to be performing at. But the November 19th, that is, yeah, it's next Saturday. I'm going to be at Jay's Sports Bar and Grill in Dinuba. I might be doing a short set at the beginning of the show. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think they're just, you know, he's inviting me to come out and enjoy the show. But there's going to be a lot of great comedians who are performing there. Stephen Mintz, Kenny Thomas, a couple of guys I know there. Really great. Eddie Trevino is really funny. Nate Follin. And the headliner, of course, is the legendary Aurelio Miguel Bocanegra. It's going to be a great show if you're in the vicinity of Dinuba. Coming out to the show, it's let's see, how much is if you want to go to the show, actually the tickets are almost sold out, so if you want to check this show out, call area code 559-210-2870 to buy tickets. It's hosted by Philip Medina. Every show I've ever been to of his has always been a great show. He always gets great comedians. It's always an amazing production, so check it out. That's Saturday, November 19th. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. Coming out, check it out. It's gonna be a great show. So if you're there, I'll see you there, and you can make fun of me for this ridiculous podcast that I do. Well, that's it for the podcast for this week. This is actually the first time I've tried doing it by myself. It didn't turn out quite as horribly as I was expecting, but hopefully next week I'll have, you know, a couple of guests in here. It's always, you know, even whether it's better or worse, it's always more fun to do if I've got some guests. So hopefully I will have some people here with me next week. So that's it for the Bitter Comics podcast. I am JT Foreman. Have a good week.